Yud Zayin Elul, Friday the 16th of September. Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Lieberman, Elul, let's do something about it.
We're talking approaching the end of the year. This week's Seder is Parshat Kisavi, which Chazal tell us has significance. Tichle Shama v'kidl Luseho. The Torah tells us, Ezra is Mesakin, that towards the end of the year we've got to try and make sure that things finish correctly. But let's look at Elul and try and understand it with the various different occurrences of Chazal and how it could be nogea to us. The simple pshat in Elul, of course, is that Elul is preparation for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Very soon, in less than 2 weeks, we've got Rosh Hashanah, and that's followed by Yom Kippur, and we understand that you can't just slip into Rosh Hashanah successfully. You want to stand Rosh Hashanah in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam with a generous feeling of Malchus. Not just to say the words, but to actually experience Malchus, we can't just drop in and Erev Rosh Hashanah just come to davening and hope that we'll feel it. It takes a month to get into the mindset, to stop and think about what Malchus means, what it means to us. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a Malach, but what do we have to give up in order to live with his Malchus? And there's various people of different Malchim and how they work on Malchus. Some people stop during davening, in the Sponin every time they say the word Melech. In Brochus, we have 100 Brochus every day. Many of them don't have the word Melech in, because they're Shmon Esra. But there's plenty of Brochus where a person says, Baruch Atah Hashem Alikeinu Melech Ha'olam. And if a person stops then and thinks about what Melech means, he's slowly getting himself into the spirit. He's talking Aleinu. Aleinu is really all about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It doesn't just happen to be in the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur davening. The theme of Aleinu and the theme of Yom Kippur davening are very much connected. There's other places in davening you could stop and think during the Pesukah de Zimra. The whole theme of Pesukah de Zimra ends with Oz Yosher, which is all about Kriyas Yamsuf and Malchus Shamayim, Hashem Yimlech Ve'elam Vo'et. Birchus Krishma ends with Malchus. By the Shachris or the Tzmairis, Hashem Yimlech Ve'elam Vo'et. There's a lot of places to stop and be Mespoinen to prepare for Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur also needs preparation. We know that Tshuva and Vidui are connected. The Rambam says that Vidui isn't just saying, sorry Hashem, sorry, you know, I did this wrong. It means, Vidui says the Rambam means, I'm sorry and I won't do it again. And to be able to honestly turn to the revelation of Yom Kippur and make a Vidui and say, yes, well, that was last year, but next year is going to be different. The person has to have plans in place. He has to have thought through everything and worked out how he's sure that it's not going to happen again. And that takes time and planning. And Kippur davening is far too short to start working out a plan for one's life. That has to be done during Elul. This is the Poshut Pshat. Shloshim Yom Kedem L'Chag. This is Man, Ribbono Shel Olam has designated, Ani L'Doydi V'Doydi Li, special Kirvus Elokim that allows us to prepare for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So a little bit difficult about that is that it's really nothing to do with Elul. It's just that Elul happens to be the last month of the year, and that comes before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Therefore, you've got to use Elul to prepare for next year. But Ani L'Doydiv Doydi Li Rosh Tevis Elul Umal Hashem Elokecho Es Levavchem Es Levav Zarecho. As if there's something about Elul. That you wonder, can that be the only pshat in Elul? Someone said another pshat in Elul, a very different approach. Moshe Shapiro says this Mahalach, and there's various Makoros that support this Indian, but let's just go through it very much b'kitzur. And the general direction of this Mahalach is that Elul isn't a preparation for next year. It's not Shat that we're busy now with Tovshin Ayin Beis and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur of next year. Rather, Elul is about finishing this year. Tovshin Ayin Aleph is now reaching its close, and there's a sugya of the end of the year. One of the makaris for this concept is the pasuk in Ekev that the Ribbono Shel Olam says about Eretz Yisrael: "Tomid eini Hashem Elokecha bo meireishis hashana ve'ad achris shana." The year has a reishis and an achris, a beginning and an end. And it sounds like it's a chiddush: meireishis hashana ve'ad achris shana. The Ribbono Shel Olam's hashkacha pratis will be there not just at the beginning, we'll go all the way from the beginning right through to the end. Sounds like at the beginning, the reish is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The end is a little further, Afal Pikein. We'll go all the way to the end. Here's Mechadosh. But that's true not only in the hashkacha of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but in a Yid's Avodah. there's something that's easier in the beginning, at the Reishis Hashana, and gets harder and harder as you get to the Achris Shana, to the end of the year. And let's understand what that is. What is it that Rosh Hashanah has? If we know what the essence of Rosh Hashanah is, then we'll understand where Elul struggles. Because Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, like the Gemara says. Achris Shana, therefore, must be the end of the year. If you take a chunk of that, it'll be Elul. And Elul is going to be the least Rosh Hashanah dig a month. What does that mean? Let's stop and be misspelling about Rosh Hashanah, and from there we'll work out what the difficulty of Elul really is. We know that Rosh Hashanah is a very strange day. It's all about Malchus, but I'm sure you've been bothered by this. You spend every year, you think about it again. We have to understand it. We're told that Rosh Hashanah is part of the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, right? Of 10 days of Teshuvah. When you come into Shul Rosh Hashanah, every person wants to get it right. We know the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is now being done the whole world, and if we enter the Sifrei Tzadikim, we're okay. Sifrei Rishon, we're in a mess, and Beinonim, we might make it through. So we want to get it right. And we picture the Rebbeinu Shel Olam with the scales, right? We talk to us in kindergarten. There's the scales, and one side is the mitzvahs, and the other side is the averus. And the only thing that can help us now is really tshuva, because tshuva takes some of those averus off the scale, and we've got a better chance of getting through and getting the year that we want. A year of bracha, a year of gesunt, a year of everybody has their tzrachim that we need, and we know we want to be on the right side of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So, for Shemitzach, Rosh Hashanah is going to be a day of tshuva. What? How do you do tshuva? Well, one of the basic elements of tshuva is vidui. Yet you open Rosh Hashanah machzor and there's no vidui. Well, not from the beginning, right through to no zeicha vidui. Forget! We're busy avoiding viduis and don't say the word chet. So how are you going to do tshuva on Rosh Hashanah if we can't even do tshuva, if we can't even say vidui? The whole way we do tshuva is by regular talking about chet. You can't talk about chet, how can you do tshuva? How is Rosh Hashanah part of the essence of tshuva? One of the Pashto Malchim is that there are always two stages in any process. There's the thought and the action, the plan and the execution. And it's a big mess. Start the execution without having finished the plan. It's not a good idea. If you've ever painted a room, if you stop before you start and think exactly how you're going to do it, then it goes smoothly. You take off the knobs, and you put masking tape around the edges, and you cover all the furniture. You think first, think where you're going to start, from the top down, from the bottom up, Bishaylin painting, right? Which way is going to drip? And then you have all the colours ready, and you have the turpentine ready, everything's there, the brushes, the rollers, all in place, and then you start. The other way of doing it is the quick way. Right? You come in, and you take just to have a paintbrush and a pot paint, and you start working. It starts quickly, but it ends slowly. When you sit there scratching off all the mess and all the trying to sort out the brushes afterwards, then it's the long way. You can't do anything in a simple job like painting, can't be achieved if the plan isn't sorted before you start the action. In real life, in Pnimius, it's even more than that. We don't always have a clarity of where we want to go, of our goals in Ruchnius. And if we don't have goals, then we have no chance of getting there, right? The person who got lost, I'm totally lost. Well, can I help you? You want to give him directions, but he's not sure where he's going. You can't get lost until you know where you're going. You can't discuss, am I on the right road, am I on the wrong road, until you know exactly where you want to reach. So when it comes to Ruchnius, if we don't have clear goals and a deep understanding of what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants of us, then we won't achieve. And more than that, the lower our goals, the lower our achievement. If a person believes that a certain level of avoda is acceptable, then that's what he's going to achieve. He certainly won't do more than that. Let's say, if you take any endless examples, take Lashon Hara. There's two malchim in Lashon Hara. Yesh Omerim, that person has to try and not to speak Lashon Hara. To try. So it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Malchus. Malchus means I've got to try not to speak Lashon Hara. But that's his Hasaga on Rosh Hashanah. The second person has a belief, might be a bit extreme, that not only does Rebbeinu Shel Olam want us to try not to speak Lashon Hara, but then Rebbeinu Shel Olam actually holds we're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara. None. It's not less. He doesn't want less Lashon Hara next year. He wants no Lashon Hara next year. That everybody belongs on some level to one of those two camps. Or either those who believe that Rosh Hashanah, to try and avoid it, or it's mamash osan, the term is very much in the second camp. Totally osan, has never happened. No Rosh Hashanah at all. That isn't, there's no plans of, what am I going to do? I fell into Lashon Hara last year. How am I going to stop doing Lashon Hara next year? That's a secondary question. First, the person has to have a saga of what it means not to speak Lashon Hara. The person who believes it to be avoidable will get to Yom Kippur and maybe make some sort of Kabbalah to try and avoid it. The second person will come to Yom Kippur and will make sure that he's really got something in place, because he can't say Al Chetchech Tamul Falecha Lashon Hara unless he's got a plan never to speak Lashon Hara again. His hasaga has changed his action. And the same thing applies to everything. We all have a belief of how many hours the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants us to learn every day. It can be an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, 12 hours. Different people are walking around with a different standard that they expect from themselves. How much slaka? For some people, ma'aser is a given. And the question is, how much, do they go for a chumash or not? Some people, it's a struggle to give ma'aser. How much, would you help every you see? All the priorities of what the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants of us depends on what we really believe. What have we internalized? What is tefillah? Again, different. A person could hold that tefillah is. Tefillah, you've got to daven. You've got to be in short tefillah, but tibur. Tibur davens, and I have my tefillah. So as long as I'm there and I somehow overlap with the tefillah, I was also able to tefillah with tibur, good enough. A person who believes that tefillah means to stand in front of the Rebbeinu Shlomo, to really feel closeness, feel a connection, feel a reliance on the Rebbeinu Shlomo, then he looks at his own tefillahs and he says, that's not good enough. And he starts to raise his actions. If a person has hasoga, if the machshava, if the mind is clear, then the actions will follow. It takes work to bring the actions in line with the machshava, but you can only get as high as your machshava is. Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh, it's the Machshava, it's the Rishis, it's the plan. Get that straight. Let's not start getting into the paint before we've started made our plan. Let's not try and work out how we're going to rectify our mistakes before we know where we're going. If you haven't calibrated your compass, there's no point in using it to get directions. Rosh Hashanah Yid stand for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. It's never mind Chet. Never mind what happened last year, but where are we going? What does Malchus mean? Does Malchus mean that I have my life, I do what I want, I've got my religion? So there's also things that I do for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. I do this, I do that, I'll do a bit more, I'll do a bit less. But then we stop Rosh Hashanah, and Yid says, I don't have my own life. There's a Rebbeinu Shlomo. It's all about getting close to him. It's all about being Megaleh his Malchus. Where do I come into the picture? What am I here for? Who cares about the taivas, the desires, the fancy chochmas that we're always looking for, the extra luxury? Does that come into the Avodas Hashem? Rosh Hashanah can be a day where a person suddenly sees the whole world in a new light. Once he has that asoga, he says, oh, if that's what life's about, then what am I doing? Oh, so the rest of that Aseres Yemei Teshuva is working out our actions fitting into Machshav. But the Rosh Hashanah is a day, a Rosh, a Rishis, the mind, the Rosh Hashanah, where a person has Asogas and starts to rethink where we're going. That's also a Teshuva, and that's why it's part of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. It's the first stage of Teshuva. You can't get to the second stage till you've had the first stage. It's one touch. And if that's true, then you start to see that the year is not disconnected from Rosh Hashanah. The year is to take that Rosh, to take that Rosh Hashanah, and bring it into real life. The Shittas Rashi, interesting, is that there are no birthdays. A person doesn't have a birthday, according to Rashi. Or you have a birthday, but there's no, the concept of counting your years from the day you were born, it doesn't exist in Torah, according to Rashi. A person's 22... It means that he's passed 22 Rosh Hashanahs. Right? Your first birthday is always Rosh Hashanah, your second birthday is always Rosh Hashanah. Rashi works it out when it comes to the counting of Klal Yisrael, the people between 20 and 60, but Rashi says, your year starts from Rosh Hashanah. If a person was born in Tammuz, then at Rosh Hashanah he turns one. But it's not a full year. Say, we're not interested in years that don't fit into Rosh Hashanahs. How many years do you have in your life? As many full years, a full year is from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Very different way of looking at it. We're used to looking at a year as 365 days. So if I was born in Nisan, so then I've got 365 days from Nisan. Rashi doesn't see a year that way. A year is a unit. And a year starts with the Rosh Hashanah and goes all the way through to an Elul. These are the chunks, the units of life. And the reason is Poshet. Because if you didn't start with a Rosh Hashanah, if a person doesn't have a new clarity and perspective at the beginning of the year, then how can you ever get to anywhere? All starts with a Rosh. Big thought process. Stopping Rosh Hashanah and asking, La'on ato heilech, where am I going? Does it really make sense that this is what the Rebbein Shalom wants of me? Am I living for him or am I living for myself? 2 days of thinking about that sets us straight. And then the rest of the year is now living up to last year's Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah is a day that's very clear. Special ruchnia, special clarity. The Acharis Shanah is the point of the year where things are very, very, very far from that Rosh. And naturally, it's a time where a person's actions have lost their connection to Machshava. A person, by the time he gets to Elul, has long forgotten about the Kabbalahs of last Yom Kippur, and is sort of flowing along, just on autopilot, melumada, habit. No, you might think you fall asleep in Elul. Komash malon, uri yishene mishinaschen, shofar. Elul is the time when we blow the shofar to remind ourselves, no, we need machshava. We need to reconnect to last Rosh Hashanah. That's the chiddush of Elul. And that taich then means that Elul is not something to do with next year. It's not just preparation for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Elul is about finishing the year correctly. That the Achris Shana should be as good as the Rishis Shana, should link to the Rishis Shana. There are two mahalachim in Elul. One mahalach is that Elul is preparation for next year. It's really Tafshin Ayin base. Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, we're preparing for next year. And the second shot is, no, it's Tafshin Ayin Aleph, it's finishing off this year correctly. Let me take this a stage further. There's something a little disturbing about both of these pshatim. Maybe we have to bring them together a bit. The first pshat is very lav dafke. And there's nothing intrinsic about Elul. It just happens to be the end of the year. And we're not even busy with Elul, really. We're busy with Tishri. We're not even busy with this year. We're actually looking at next year. It's a bit like buying an Abaminim in Aseres Mei Tshuva. It happens. Sometimes you have no choice. You have to put it. It's a bit of a waste of Aseres Mei Tshuva to be busy, you know, kind of looking at Aravos or Adasim or checking Lulavim. Aseres Mei Tshuva is about Tshuva. But you can't help it. Sukkos is going to come. So sometimes we do things now because of the future. Really, Elul is about Elul. But we have no choice. Elul, really, we should be finishing a Masechta. We have to take time off our learning to do a Cheshbon HaNefesh. Because next year, there's going to be something else. It's totally non-intrinsic. The second shot is Geshmak. It's all about Elul. On the other hand, the second shot is all about Elul, but then it's really nothing to do with Yisrael Shami and Kippur. Does anyone believe that? Slichas is all about 4 days of checking a korban before Rosh Hashanah. Of course, Elul's preparation for Rosh Hashanah. So how do we put the two together? We know the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was in the mountain, that the Yemei Rotzen was from the beginning of Elul through to Yom Kippur. So it crosses this line between Tavshin Ayin Aleph and Tavshin Ayin Beis. A bit of last year, a bit of next year. How can we put the two together? It's the third Mahalach in Elul, if you have to do the Kitzin Nimrat Mamash, and that looks at a Medrash in Parshas Emor. The Medrash there, Shtotzach, and why is it that all the Moyadim, or so many Moyadim, are in Tishri? Shonim, Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, you could have split them up. Tishri, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevis, they're much more satisfying. There was no Yom Tov Rabbanon in the winter, so we'd have some Yom Tov in there. It's not the Medrash. The reason is because Tishri is the seventh month. And Kol Hashlin is Chavivis. The Rebbeinu Shlom lights sevens. Seventh day of the week, Shabbos. Seventh generation from Avraham Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave the Torah. The Rebbeinu Shlom likes sevens. And therefore, Tishri is Shvi. Shvi, oh, lots of Yom Tov. The Shad is, what's the significance of the fact that it's the seventh? The posh to Indian is, without getting into the sugya, there's a sugya called six and seven, where six is the ultimate development of a process And seven is the tachlis, is the purpose, is the outcome. Sheishas yomim tavad vasis kol lechtecho yom hashvi'i Shabbos. Tachlis, ma'aseh shamayim v'aretz. When you bring things together, when you've done all the preparations, you get to the yom hashvi'i, which is the tachlis. Shvi'i, anything that is seven, has a tachlis. It's a chiddush, but we're used to it. We know in Yiddishkeit, every number represents a concept. So when we talk about a seventh, it's the point, the tachlis that holds everything together. In our experience of life, there's always six sides. Your right, your left, in front of you, behind you, above you, below you. There's six sides. The cube has six sides. But we either are going forwards, backwards, turning to our right, to our left, looking up or looking down. Six directions. What holds all those together is the seventh. That point of center, Shabbos. Seven is not just that number, it's also a concept. Now if that's true, that seven is a concept, that it follows that one, two, three, five, and six are also concepts, right? Every number is a concept. I'm going to go through more now, but what would be the concept of six? If seven is the tachlis, and the process always is built of six parts, then the final part of that process, the number six, is the ability to bring all the bits together and focus them on tachlis. Six is focus. Yesoid. Direction. Nothing getting lost. Bring everything together. Pull all the threads together so that they're focused on one final tachlis. Erev Shabbos. Today is an Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is not just a day that happens to have challenges. The koyach of Erev Shabbos is the ability to bring everything into Shabbos on time, and that creates certain challenges, certain issues that are specific to Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is a day with its own power. There's a shir shalyon every day. Every day has its own significance. The significance of Erev Shabbos is you can bring everything and get it ready in time for Shabbos. Yeah, it's good to know that. It is Shaykh. And the raya is winter and summer. Nobody hears Mechal the Shabbos. Somehow it's Shaykh to get things ready in time for Shabbos. Six, seven. Now, if that's true in Yomim, then the same applies to Chadoshim. The seventh is the seventh month that represents Tachlis, like Shabbos. So the sixth month is the month that has the natural koyach to bring things together. That's what Elul is. Elul's not stam a chodesh. Elul is a chodesh with a ruchnis, with an energy, with a koyach, a tziyat tishmaya, and an ever doid of doidili that allows us to bring things together, to finish them off, the whole process that leads to the Tachlis. The Tachlis is chodesh ha-shvi'i. Is Rosh Hashanah. In order to understand this more fully, let's bring this point in. The Meiridike Ha'orah, it must have bothered you sometime, but it's brought out by this Meirish itself. But at this point, we've got beautiful Pshat and Elul. Is Elul Tashinayim Aleph, or is Elul Tashinayim Beis? The answer is both. Is Erev Shabbos last week, or Shabbos? It's both. It's that which leads into Shabbos. Elul leads into Rosh Hashanah. And it's not Stam, it's not cause of Tashin. That's what Elul's power is, to bring everything together to the Tachlis. The difficulty of this is that we speak about the years, right? Rashi says you only have full years. A year starts where? Rosh Hashanah. So the first month is Tishri, the second is Cheshvan, the last month, the 12th month is Elul. So what do you mean it's the seventh month? Seventh month is Tishri, sixth month is Elul. You speak out of the Pesach now. Make up your mind. What is this schizophrenia when it comes to counting the year? Does the year start in Nisan? Does it start in Tishri? But look up a year as it starts in Tishri. Look up a month it starts in Nisan. What are we doing? How are we going to relate to that? How is that meaningful to us? You start a year with Rosh Hashanah, with a new Kabbalah, a new clarity, that you then finalize and concretize in Yom Kippur, and you start to live on Sukkot. That's the start of the year. Where does Pesach come into all that? It bothers me terribly. We've got the 6th and 7th, we're crossing the beginning of the year. Strange. There's a thesis in Rosh Hashanah. That's a similar kasha, not the Gabi Avodah, but how do we Paschal? But Tishri Nivra Ha'olam, or Benissan Nivra Ha'olam? Machlekes Rav Shira Blazer. Well, how do we Paschal? Well, we Paschal, of course, Rosh Hashanah Nivra Ha'olam, because we say, Zeh Hayom Tchilas Masecha, we say Hayom Haras Ha'olam. That's all fine and good. Rosh Hashanah. What happens when it comes to Birchas Hachama? Well, we're starting with, we're going to make the bracha where the sun was, B'shas B'riyas Ha'olam, then all of a sudden, what do we Paschal? Nissan. Make up your mind. Is it Tishri? Is it Nissan? Tesis and Nudigi Yisait. That's what we're speaking about. Everything has Machshava and Maisa. The Machshava of the Rebbein Shalom is also a level of Bria. So Rebbe Natan, it's in the Zayin of the Aleph, as the Rebbein Shalom had the Machshava of the Bria in Tishri. The actualization of that, the physical manifestation of that Bria, was Nissan. So it comes to something physical, the sun, that's Nissan. It comes to thinking about where the year really starts, that's Tishri. Machshava in Tishri, Raisa in Nissan. And if that's true about the Rebbein Shalom's Bria, then it can probably be applied to our Avoda, the same thing. Where's Neiradik? The Reishis Hashanah starts with clarity, with Machshava. The moment Rosh Hashanah is over, we turn around to ourselves and we say, that's nice, lovely plan, let's stop dreaming, let's make that real. So we start working out, what's going to stop me doing this? What went wrong? Which Yetzer Horrors might interfere? Tshuva! We've got a serious name, Tshuva! We've tagged got Yomim of Tshuva! And we finish with Yom Kippur. But that's not enough. We then need to internalize that message. And we're told here that if the Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Tam is saying, is the Olam of Machshava, the 6 months of Machshava in a year that ends at the end of the winter. And then starts the Olam HaMaisa. But they're not disconnected. Those thoughts have been so internalized for 6 months that you start acting differently by the time Pesach comes round. Nothing starts in Pesach, and that's the Matzias. Think about the agricultural year that our Yom and Tovim are built on. You plant at the beginning of the winter, and what happens during the winter? If you're an Amoret and you walk past the fields, you say nothing's happening. The farmer will tell you, this is where everything is happening. This is where the seeds germinate. They start to grow. It's all underground, though. It's all inside. This is all covered over. But then you see the outcome of that internal experience in Avoda, as you start seeing the plants start to grow towards Nissan. That's when the tour starts to grow, and then you start to harvest it through the summer. Things ripen. The summer is to ripen the growth of the winter. A Rosh Hashanah of a Yid has to be a brand new beginning. If next year we're still working on last year's Avoda, that's ridiculous. Can a person be Mekabel this Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Well, he was Mekabel last Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That should be finished. The Hasoga, the clarity of last Rosh Hashanah should be real by the time the end of the year comes. This Rosh Hashanah, we have to be working on something new. Aye, last year I was working on not getting angry. Next year I'm going to be working on not getting angry. The year after I'll be working on not getting angry. You know, I've been doing it for what, 20, 30 or longer. Maybe the Teretz is Emchanani. But there were challenges to in last year that I hope don't exist next year. A person who's really working on a middah will find that there are things that he's finished with. He now has to move on to the next stage. We start with our saga on Rosh Hashanah. I realize how terrible it is to get angry, and I'm a Kabbalah certain Kabbalah by Yom Kippur, and I lived that through. I internalized it through a winter followed by a summer. Machshava and then Maisa. Practice, action, so that it became real. When you're zeichet to that, then you can have a new Rosh Hashanah. I almost see this agriculturally as saying, yes, you keep planting, but we don't want next year's seeds to be the same quality as last year's seeds. We have to upgrade. We don't just upgrade phones and cars. We've got to upgrade our lives. We've got to upgrade the seeds that we plant next year. You planted something last Rosh Hashanah. Harvest it by the time you come to the end of Tashin Ayin Aleph, and then replant new grade seeds, higher grade seeds, Tashin Ayin Beis. That will in turn produce a new crop at the end of Ayin Beis that will replant even better Ayin Gimel, and a person's life becomes a holeich michayil adchayil, better and better each year. The point of Elul is that it's the last chance to concretize last Rosh Hashanah. Of course it's Olam HaMaisa. But now, if we really live during these 2 weeks in line with what we were thinking, last Rosh Hashanah, we've got a last chance to be koiner, to finish off the chelik ha-maisa. Maisa is when we make it real, and then we can enter the olam ha-machshava of next Rosh Hashanah. I'm just going to take one more minute, if you don't mind, to share with you a beautiful vort from the Vilna Gaon. It's a Megillas Esther. The pasuk there describes how the girls will prepare for Achashverosh. Shisha chadashim v'shemen amorim, shisha chadashim v'psamim v'samurki anashim. For 6 months they would use shemen amorim, which is a special oil that removes hair. And then there was another 6 months where they would use psamim and samurki anashim. Perfumes and cosmetics. Do I need to know that? They prepared for Achashverosh, I'm nafkimin. So they're going, there's a remnant of something noiro. There's two types of avodah. There's shemen hamoir, which is avodah sativus, an internal process of disconnecting oneself from hair, which he says represents all the moisturous of olam hazeh, all our desires in olam hazeh. That's one sugya. That's the first 6 months of the year. The second 6 months is besamim samurke anoshim, which is mitzvahs esse, mitzvahs loisase, moving from the olam hamachshava to the olam hamaisa. Is that the goyman meiridig echidish? You think, he says, that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Rebbein Shem, removes your averus? It's a mistake. He does not erase averus. Einoy moichik, eino nimchek. So what does he do? He puts them aside and he says, let's see what happens during the year. If a person lives alpi those isayrus and concretizes and internalizes them, makes them real, so the revenge for, okay, that was a good Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. If a person slips up and it's just thoughts, it's just, that's what you wanted to be Rosh Hashanah, that's no good. So Shisha Chadashim Shemel Amor is the continuation of your Rosh Hashanah, where you thought through the winter, your misboinen and your misayra, to try and really absorb and live with that hasaga. You turn it into action, then you start to feel the results through Nissan, and you refine it through the summer. Shish chadashim shemen amur, shish chadashim samur kianashim, ubozeh hamnaro boe el hamelech. Then the neshama can come to the Rebbein Shalom, and he says, Rebbein Shalom, I need a new year. So the Rebbein Shalom, okay, kol ha-shatoyme, yinos ha-noh, anything you ask for will be given to you. Shem zeicha to live in the Olam HaMaisa during Elul, to take do something about it, about last Rosh Hashanah, and we're made to get to a new Asag, the next Rosh Hashanah, and the Rebbein Shalom should be Malach, and the Shabbos, the day of the day.